Hi, today's January 7th, 2017. This is Mobile News Podcast number 189. Happy New Year. Our first podcast of 2017, although in our show notes, actually not almost. I did it right down 2015, but John caught me. That's why it's good to have somebody younger than you as your co-host, because they catch stuff.
And what is your name again?
I don't remember.
Since you haven't introduced yourself yet, so we got the year, and we got the date, and we got, but I am John Westfall, joined by my good friend, Todd Ogasawara.
There you go. We'll switch it up this year. Okay, so speaking of aging, well, you know, the MacBook Pro that I've been using to record most of these podcasts is a 2009 MacBook. It's not a youngin'. It's the one my daughter got when she was freshman in high school, something like that. And I inherited it when she went off to college, and she got a new MacBook Air. So it's been pretty well behaved since 2009. I think it had one hard drive failure, which Apple took care of for a reasonable cost, I have to say. As opposed to, you know, the usual haranguing I've been doing on Apple lately. But last week, for whatever reason, the Wi-Fi radio decided to die. Now, the Bluetooth works fine. Ethernet works fine. I tested that. It's just the Wi-Fi hardware. You're just no longer seen by the system. Rebooted, you know, did all the usual things. Just can't.
The SMC clear, the PRAM clear, all the stuff.
I did
stuff,
the MV, yep. RAM or whatever I did, the SMC. I did all that PRAM stuff, right. I did everything several times. I did it in different order just to make sure. So it just is gone. And so I bought a $12 USB Wi-Fi dongle, which had pretty good ratings on Amazon. I think it was like 4.5 stars. It's the Aukey WF-R3, a 600 dual-band wireless USB adapter. And, you know, it's kind of funky to install. It comes with a mini CD-ROM. So right away, that's a problem because, as you know, even though this MacBook Pro still has a optical drive, it is a slide-in, and you can't stick a mini CD in that. So fortunately, I had an old external Samsung, non-fire-catching variety, external DVD-ROM drive. Actually, it's probably DVD read-write drive that happened to have a sliding tray that could fit a mini disc, and so I plugged that into USB and installed the driver. And while it works, it is extremely slow. And looking at the documentation, which I probably should have done before I bought it, but looking at the documentation, I think it's only the 2.4 gigahertz frequency it supports, and basically it tops out at about 6 megabits down, 0.567 megabits up. And by comparison, using the exact same access point, I can get about 50 megabits down and 10 megabits up on anything else, including the original Wi-Fi hardware that was in here. But at any rate, it's $12. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. At least I can use it for email and light browsing, and even Netflix works. Okay, so we're back. John and I had a bit of technical difficulty. Basically, we had a drop. Hopefully, I edit the right part out. But I think I was talking about what I was getting on a typical Wi-Fi adapter. I'm getting about 50 megabits down, 10 megabits up. I have 100 down, 10 megabit up system. On the access point I use right here, it's a little slow. I have another access point that's doesn't quite have the signal strength to where I'm sitting right now, but I can do 100 up, 100 down. I mean, 100 down, 10 up from that access point. But, you know, 50 is plenty for podcasting. But in any case, so I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. You know, for $12, it's hard to complain. At least my MacBook Pro has Wi-Fi now, and I can use it for, I think I was mentioning, Netflix works fine. It's 6 megabits down, at least at standard def, so hard to complain.
That 2000 MacBook Pro should still have regular, I think it still has regular screws in it. You might actually be able to change the Wi-Fi chip on it.
You know,
I don't think
point.
It's on the board. I think it might actually be a replaceable part if you, and you got no warranty left, so well, you have to really
lose. Yeah, I haven't had warranty in 6 years.
so I think if you're up for it, just do a quick Google search and see, and if it says that it's serviceable, you might be able to just do that and get it back.
A good point. And give from your previous advice, I actually opened it up and upgraded the RAM from, I think, 2 gigabytes to 8.
Yeah.
It's a much happier machine with more RAM.
Yeah, I have the same version sitting on my desk at one of my desks at work, and I use it for a few things here and there. So I feel your pain a little bit with weird MacBook issues, your Wi-Fi dying. My 2015 MacBook Pro, every time I reboot it, I have to do an SMC reset or else it won't boot.
That's practically brand new.
It boots up, but it won't, the mouse and keyboard, the mouse won't respond.
Wow.
So, and then I do a reboot and it pops real quick. The first time it reboots, it's real slow. So it's something bizarre, and an SMC reset does it every time. But
is it out of warranty? I mean,
it's not out of warranty.
If you've got Apple Care,
But before I would do that, I would probably just rebuild it. And that I assume that would probably fix the issue anyway if I just do a clean install the operating system. Yeah,
because that's from my point of view, that's a new system.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. Before it goes out of AppleCare, because I have 3 years of AppleCare on it, I'll probably rebuild it completely, and if it still has a problem, I'll send it in for AppleCare before it goes out.
Okay, or before AppleCare goes out.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I'm not a big fan of Apple, even though I just bought it for my daughter's new phone, but in any case.
Yeah, we have a very interesting relationship with Apple these days. Both you and I do. From, I think, being highly favorable about Apple to being a little bit lukewarm or a little bit less. I still like my iPhone. I think you and I equal out to lukewarm.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm still a little hotter on it than you are. But we'll talk more about that as we move through. But it kind of built into your point that you brought up in our show notes here that this is the first year-over-year sales decline for Apple since 2001.
Yeah. Speaking of Apple, so year-over-year. Ars Technica reports that not only did it's their first decline in since 2001, but Tim Cook, poor guy, he's taking home like a little bit less money this year. He didn't get his full bonus. I think he's only making $8 million, so I don't know how he's going to eat and pay his rent and stuff. But
yeah,
you know, it's a tough all the way around. It's a tough world. That's all I can say. But you know that comes point. So what's the problem? Because you know the next thing in our show notes is, despite the Note 7 fiasco, and we had a couple of speculation about what that meant for Samsung Electronics, their fourth quarter profits are up 50% year over year, despite the Note 7, and is projected to be a 3-year high for profits, and that's according to Reuters. So, you know, on one hand, Samsung Electronics is a much more diversified company than Apple. They're not as dependent on their phones as Apple is on its phones for profits. But still, you know, we thought the Note 7 was going to kill it. I mean, at least on the phone side, I think it not just sucked the profits dry. I think they were in negative territory because they had to pay out and that sort of thing.
It definitely is that Samsung has its name on much more than just phones.
Yeah.
And Samsung, we don't realize, Samsung does a lot of, I don't know what the best term, but ODM work. Mm. You know, they're the original device. We use that term. But, you know, they're the original component manufacturer for a lot of things that we don't really think about, like, you know, iPhone parts.
Yeah, like the screens, right?
So, it's kind of an interesting world where Samsung can have the Note 7 be such a problem, and they can still be pretty profitable because every time someone buys an iPhone, Samsung's making money.
Right. It's not like whenever anybody buys Android, Microsoft makes money because of their licensing deals.
Exactly. So,
but it goes.
I think the fanboys out there would really like to think of a world where Samsung, Apple, Google, Microsoft are all completely siloed and have no interdependence on each other at all. And it's just much more complex than that. And so that's why any one of these numbers, you know, this number we could look at and make a lot out of, and could have made a lot out of the number where Apple basically is dominating smartphone products. But it's just little facets of the same kind of big picture.
Yeah, but you know, I think, and I am certainly no financial analyst or expert in manufacturing, but it seems to me Apple has become a one-trick pony. They've got the iPhone, and everything else is, you know, minor league in terms of sales.
Yeah, they certainly haven't been thinking too much about their other products. They've been focusing a lot on iPhone, Apple Watch, and accessories for those two things. Right. And the iPads definitely were neglected this year. The MacBooks got an update that time will tell how popular that update is. And the Mac hasn't seen an update in forever. The Mac Pro hasn't seen an update in forever. They killed off their router line. They killed off their monitor line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and of course the poor Mac Mini, which I think both you and I would like to see a new version of.
I'm ready to buy a new version of it if it comes out, because mine is 8 years old, and I already have had to do some repairs on it, and I use it as my home server. I'm very happy with it as my home server, so it's just really freaking slow.
Yeah, as I recall, you did some major surgery on it. It wasn't just like open it up and put something in. It's...
Well, I had to put a new hard drive in, and in the process of putting that new hard drive in, I accidentally knocked the temperature sensor off. And so I had to put a new secondary board into it. So it wasn't just a new temperature sensor. So I could have run it with the fan running at 100% all the time, but I figured that would drive me crazy.
Yeah, that would, and the birds. The birds would be annoying.
Yeah, all the birds would have hated it.
Yeah. So, you know, basically, I think the lesson here is that, Samsung survived a major, major serious problem with their phone line. If that had happened to an iPhone 7 or 7 Plus, Apple would be in the tank. They had nothing to fall back on.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see. I don't know how bad it would have been. It would have been bad, but it would have, it actually happened to Apple where the entire line had to be recalled, that would have been a big problem.
Yeah. Well, in any case, and I should say, you know, speaking of Apple, I'm finally using my Apple Pencil. As you know, John, I've been starting to actually, my New Year's resolution is to doodle, draw some little doodle once a day. So once a day.
Making beautiful artwork. I'm very, I very much like your artwork because it's much better than mine.
Well, thank you. But basically, so my New Year's resolution is to do at least 3 minutes of doodling every day. It's been a little bit more lately, but that's kind of my goal, something simple and achievable. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying using the pencil now that I have, a purpose for it, because I had no purpose for it previously. And I guess you could say I still don't have a purpose. It's sort of a made-up purpose. And I need to talk to you offline to get some advice on what to do for my iPad mini, since it has no Apple Pencil support. I know you've bought a couple of Jot type things, but I'll talk to you offline. Maybe we'll talk about that online later.
I do have a favorite non-Apple Pencil stylus, so okay. We can talk about that at some point.
All righty. And, there's another Samsung thing, but I'm going to skip that for now because I want to talk about my favorite thing, which you still haven't bought into. I don't think you've bought an Amazon Echo, or did you buy the Google
Home? I do have an Echo Dot.
Oh, you have an Echo Dot? Oh, awesome.
Yes.
So.
But I will not, unlike the news reporter that made headlines today in some places, I will not say the magic words, buy me a something.
Right.
Since she now apparently has bought a lot of people dollhouses.
Yeah, apparently. Yes. We have accidentally used the magic word for several things like SIRI and,
Yeah.
Those kind of
we
things.
Need a word like a generic name that hasn't been used by an AI yet. And since they're all women, we should probably pick a male name like Charles or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We should pick an old-fashioned name. You know, a name that is no longer much used by people when they name names.
Sebastian.
Sebastian. I kind of like that name, actually. But yeah, okay. It's a little too long to go with my last name, but but I that would be interesting. Yeah, we should go, with Moriarty or one of those kind of names, right? Sherlock's a bad one, actually.
Yeah. Sebastian Ogasawara. It sounds kind of like a sentence.
It sounds like a dog, actually. It sounds like a dog that when you check in with the vets. I've brought Sebastian in. Woof.
Yeah. Well, now you know the name for the next rabbit.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Although for some reason people name rabbits after food things. I think that's very scary and sad, but it's true. But at any rate. So, at any rate, Amazon Echo, you've got a Dot now. I've bought two Dots. I bought one for my mom recently, which she's actually using. I'm a little surprised. I bought the Echo for her, too, but she didn't use it, and I didn't want to waste $180, so to speak, so I brought it home. But I tried again. The Dot was on sale on Black Friday for $40. I said, oh, what the heck? I'll just leave it there. $40, you know, we'll see if she takes to it. And she's starting to use it, so that's nice. Gave one to my daughter this past summer, right after it came out. And it looks like the Amazon Echo is becoming an IoT platform. It seems to be being integrated in a whole bunch of stuff being announced at CES this past week.
Too can help launch DDoS attacks against things. Very good.
Well, we don't know that, right? We don't know if it's as vulnerable as some of the other IoT things. Hopefully not.
You know, I think it's very interesting that we haven't, one of the things we did not put on our show notes, and this is sort of sad, we're not talking about anything related to CES this week.
Well, I just mentioned CES.
Is happening. You did just mention it.
Yeah.
I think that we, just last year we were very underwhelmed by many of the shows that were going on. I think we are still underwhelmed by these things. Yeah. But yeah, I like the Echo as a platform. I like just the idea that these AIs are getting a little bit more interesting, and I think this is the year Siri has to get an upgrade to remain competitive.
Oh, yeah.
I think Apple wanted that to happen when they opened up the Siri API, but so far I haven't seen a lot of cool uses that people are making with the Siri API.
Sebastian API.
Yes. The Sebastian API, the Apple Sebastian versus the Google Sebastian versus the Amazon.
That's right. We'll have to come up with all different names already. Well, maybe we'll use Sebastian for, you know, Apple's because they're both S's, and we'll find an E name like, I don't know. We'll find a good E, old-fashioned E name for the Amazon.
Ebenezer.
There you go. Ebenezer Scrooge, yeah. The Amazon Ebenezer,
I guess for Google we could use Gerald or something like that, you know.
That sounds like a plan.
Sure. But yeah, I think that Ebenezer getting IoT support is a cool thing. I like seeing how these things are going.
Yeah, I do too. And speaking of Sebastian, of Apple Sebastian, maybe Chuck, Microsoft Chuck.
Use
a female name, actually, shouldn't we? Because, you know, Microsoft's code word is a female name from Halo, I believe. So,
well, we swapped the genders on all of them.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll call it Chuck. Microsoft Chuck. Microsoft Chuck is as dumb as a rock, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, that was because Chuck was the one that everyone was saying was so great.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sebastian and Ebenezer and Gerald just lapped Chuck like crazy this last year, so... And then Sebastian dropped off, and it looks like it's just Gerald and Ebenezer that are really kind of the forerunners right now in your at-home AI that we have codenames.
Right. You know, it's funny because I saw that Mattel had some ridiculous $300, you know, Echo-like device for kids. And the rationale was, I guess, that somebody had tried asking Amazon's, what did we cite? Ebenezer. Some questions that a child might ask and they couldn't, or no, they asked Google Home to answer some questions as a child might, you know, how tall is this or whatever, and it couldn't answer, so that Mattel's response was to more child-friendly thing to answer. But you know what? I tried it with the Echo and it could answer all those questions that it said Google failed at, so I... They didn't try the right
device. Did you ask where babies come from, Tom? That might be the one that will have the most interesting responses.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't know. That would just be my guess. You know?
Well, let's try it since my Amazon Echo is right here.
Okay.
Let's see. So, let's see. How should I phrase this? Alexa, where do babies come from?
Babies grow from an egg cell and a sperm cell.
That's a pretty good answer.
It is.
Kind of no value judgment, very, you know, scientific. I like it.
And after that, it didn't even offer, would you like me to find pictures of where babies come from? You know.
So, okay. So it will answer that question. And I think in a way that most parents would say, okay, that's fine. I mean, you know, my daughter's 21, so, you know, I really don't think I would be, you know, aghast at whatever answer it gave. But if she were, you know, 3 or 4 years old back then, and that was the answer, I said, well, it's a little too complicated for her to understand, but it's accurate. Okay, now, you mentioned that we weren't talking about CES, but this, the next item was announced at CES, and I'm kind of excited about it. It's a new Samsung Chromebooks, which were apparently co-designed with Google. So they're kind of replacing the Google Pixel Chromebooks, as far as I can figure out, because Google doesn't sell those anymore. There's two coming out, the Samsung Chromebook Plus, I believe, and a Pro. The difference is, I think the Pro has an Intel, kind of a high-speed Intel chip, and the Plus has, you know, some kind of ARM chip in it. But they both touch screens. They both have styluses. They're basically identical except for the CPU, I think. And both support the Android app ecosystem. You know, I've been all hot and bothered to get the Acer Chromebook R13, except I couldn't order it through Amazon because it won't ship out to Hawaii or Alaska. And although Best Buy had it, I'm just too lazy to actually drive to Best Buy and find parking and go talk to somebody who doesn't really want to talk to me and go buy something. So I haven't done that. So maybe I'll just wait for these Chromebooks to arrive next month now and see if I can order those and have them shipped to Hawaii.
You know, I just don't understand it. Hawaii and Alaska are just like right off the coast of California in their own little box. I don't know why you can't just
float some things out there. Well, it depends what maps. In some maps, Hawaii is off the coast of Texas.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Should be so close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I admit, I still can't quite understand the allure of Chromebooks. But I've not played with them for any length of time, so for all I know, they are very awesome. I just... if I'm going to use an operating system that isn't a Mac OS or Windows or Linux, like, you know, Debian or something like that, I guess the only one I'm willing to use is iOS. I don't know if Chrome OS or Android is something I'm ready to have some investment into.
Well, you know, I've always liked the idea. You might remember Larry Ellison back in the either late 90s or early 2000s had that network computer idea. And I think Sun also, you know, had the slogan at one point, the network is the computer. And the idea was to have these lightweight clients, thin clients, as I recall, was called thin clients out of the edge. And I always thought that was a great idea, you know, although some people said, well, it's just, you know, bringing the mainframe back and just nicer 3270 terminals and stuff. But I really like the idea of a quick booting system or no boot system, you know, just instant on. You know, like a pocket PC. That's why we like the pocket PC and especially the handheld PC, actually, I should say. That was the allure of the handheld PC for me. It was my network computer, except it didn't connect the network too well, which was always its problem. But that's the allure to me. I also had an MSN Companion, if you remember that one. That was really kind of a fun idea from Microsoft that never took off. I actually had a prototype with a built-in Ethernet jack, so that was really kind of handy. And so I didn't have to like add on adapters via USB and stuff. I just plugged it in Ethernet. It was good. But I really like the idea of, I still haven't bought one, so I don't like it that much apparently. But, but now that it can support Android apps, which I do like the idea of, I'm really kind of interested. Although, you know, our good friend Rocco is not that high on Android support. He is high on the Chromebook. I believe he uses a Pixel for his daily driver. But he's not so high on the integration of Android apps with Chrome OS. So, in fact, that's the reason. His opinion, basically, is what's kept me from buying the Acer R13. Because I'm kind of waiting to see, you know, if they can smooth that out. And maybe now with the official Samsung Chromebook coming out and with a stylus, maybe I'll wait, you know. And it's funny. Well, maybe not funny. It's not funny to Acer. I remember Acer offered to send me a loaner, you know, for a couple of weeks just so I could play with it. I said, no, I'm not looking to review it. I want to buy it. And, you know, I'm voting with my this is better than a review. I'm voting with my wallet or my credit card for, you know, R13. And unfortunately, I still haven't bought it yet because it's so hard to get out here. And again, I'm too lazy to drive out to Best Buy, which actually does have them in stock now and then. You have two or three at a time or whatever. But I think I'm going to pull the trigger on this one. I really like the idea. I, I really like having my iPad Pro Junior with a keyboard as instant on. Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. I don't know. Maybe after I get it. It's kind of like the AirPods, you know. You like them. So we'll talk about that more. But mm-hmm. you were really in favor of them. I'm like, I'm going to lose it. maybe the Chromebooks or something like that. Okay, now, one last thing before we get to talking about AirPods is conspiracy views. So, you know, conspiracy views is the mythical podcast that we don't admit to doing. It's
yeah, secret. We've never done anything with conspiracy views.
That's
ever.
Right, ever, ever. But we've never even something, talked. If we had, this is one that would be in it.
Yeah. So
a Japanese insurance, this is on Quartz.com, actually it's QZ.com on Quartz, a report that 34 claim analysts at a Japanese insurance company are being replaced by IBM's Watson. So, you know, high-skilled information worker type people being replaced by AI. Skynet. Who would have thought IBM would be Skynet?
Well, Watson is already, in addition to his well-publicized Jeopardy victory, he is also already diagnosing medical conditions.
This is true.
So I think this is an interesting application of machine learning and machine-aided decision-making. I don't know. We'll be interested to see how this works, because I would assume that if this works well in Japan, it might spread to other companies. Because definitely insurance claims are something that you could rightly make a good machine learning algorithm on that would be dependent on the type of statements made, the type of accidents, the probabilities of certain accidents actually happening the way they're described, all those.
Right. So. And actually, you know, if you do the back of the napkin numbers, you know, I think, you know, the number of dollars, or yen, I guess, but number of dollars they're paying for the initial purchase of IBM Watson or licensing, and then the yearly maintenance licensing fee, I think they make their money back in less than 2 years.
Hmm.
You know, using Watson versus paying the salary for 34 information workers, essentially. And I don't know if we talked about this before. You know, we haven't had this podcast in a couple of weeks, so it's kind of hard to remember what we've talked about. But Foxconn, which makes Apple and Dell and a whole bunch of other things, they're talking about replacing most of their 1.4 million factory workers with robots.
Yeah, I did see that too, yeah.
Yeah, so
I don't think we've talked about it here, but that is something that's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and, you know, replacing 34 information workers, well, those 34 people are probably not very happy. You know, I'm not being facetious about that. Not a happy situation. But imagine 1.4 million people, or some good percentage of 1.4. It doesn't even have to be a good percentage, even half of 1.4 million people is what, 700,000 people? I mean, that's more people than live in metropolitan Honolulu.
But in China, this is exactly the problem that they've been dealing with for 20 years now. I remember an article a number of years back where I forget which Chinese leader was asked what their biggest concern was every day. And that was, where am I going to find a million jobs roughly every day that I need for the people that are looking for work? So they have – this is something that they will figure out.
Yep, yep. Okay, and so we're getting to the bottom of our list of things to talk about. And so I shouldn't say Mr. So good Dr. John. AirPods, you get them yet?
Yes, they arrived early. They arrived, they were supposed to arrive January 12th, but they shipped out on December 24th or somewhere around there, just a few days after Christmas. I was unfortunately not home. I had to send my friend who was house sitting, I had to send the release form to her for her to print out and put on my door. And so when I did get home, they were waiting for me on my kitchen table. They are very, very nice. I am very happy with the AirPods. I bought a set of Beats Solo 3 headphones a few months ago.
I remember that. Would you like them, as I recall?
And I still do. They are the headphones I have by my bed, and I use them to watch movies and such. And the only problem I've had with them is dropping on phone calls. And so I was kind of worried, since they both use the same chip, that I'd have that with the AirPods. But so far, I've taken a number of phone calls on them. I've listened to music on them. I've listened to podcasts on them. They fit very nicely in my ears. They don't fall out.
Oh, that was my and, other question. How many AirPods they have a little do you have?
Yes.
Just you still have two?
Yeah. Okay. They do have a little bit more latency in pairing. So, like, if you open the box to get out your – like, I usually pull out the right ear AirPod if I just need one ear.
Right.
It can sometimes take 5 to 10 seconds for it to connect up, for it to turn on, connect up, et cetera. And if you do it too quickly, like I've had this where I've opened the box, pulled out the AirPod, put in my ear, closed the box, and nothing connects up because basically when you open the case, that's when the AirPods turn on, activate. Okay. And so if you kind of do that too quickly, it seems like it's it gets confused. Okay. But once they're connected, they stay connected. I've been very happy with them.
And speaking of latency, I mean, I know you were talking about latency in terms of turning on, but how about latency in terms of the audio stream? Are you having any problems that were rumored to be the cause for the delay, the left and ear?
No, I've not had any. When I have both in, I've not ever noticed a lag in them. Okay. So that seems to be synced up. I think for $160, they're a very nice, solid two non-connected Bluetooth headphones.
Right. With understanding,
and they fit nicely in my ear.
Now, I have absolutely no data to back up this statement, but I'm just guessing. Most of us have never spent $160 for any kind of headset. I don't think I have.
Before I bought the Beats, I had not paid anything that high either. And the Beats, of course, are about double that. So, but I'm planning on the Beats and these AirPods being my Bluetooth headphones for at least the next 4 or 5 years. So not planning on changing anytime.
I've got a couple questions about the AirPods, and if you don't have the answers now, that's fine. We can have continued discussion as you experience it further. How long have you had them now? About a week?
About a week, yep.
And you haven't lost it, so that's awesome. You don't have the latency. How about charging? Do they charge up pretty fast in that special case of theirs?
They do charge up pretty fast. They do drain a little quicker than I was expecting. Of course, the battery on the Beats Solo 3 is just crazy. I have not charged it in a month, and it's at 75% battery.
And that's think that's just it's physically larger, so it's got a bigger battery?
Yeah, it's just physically a larger battery, and it's basically well-known because it's a huge battery for that. But the AirPods, an hour and a half podcast, you're going to get it down to about 20% that you'll have to pop it in the case and let it charge for 5-10 minutes to get it shot back up. Mm. But I haven't run out of power with them yet. I haven't had any problems with that. So
wait, I'm sorry. So how long does it last if you're listening to a podcast or whatever?
I haven't run them dry, but I know I had one AirPod in my ear, and I listened for about an hour of a podcast, and it got that particular AirPod down to 30, maybe 20%.
Hmm. So, I'm still not clear on whether or not we can wear Bluetooth headsets on airplanes. I think we can now, because I see a lot of people doing it. But it sounds like it wouldn't make it across the U.S. if you were doing an East Coast to West Coast flight.
Yeah, it might not. You might have to. Of course, they have the quick charge, so your time off wouldn't be too much. But I think definitely if you were doing a flight and you did not want to have any downtime at all, you would want something else. Yeah. But
and can you pair it with multiple devices? I mean, like simultaneously, so you don't have to repair?
If you have Apple devices, of course, the chip that it uses, once it's paired to one of your Apple devices, the pairing information travels through iCloud.
Oh, it does.
So I can, it's the same thing with the Beats Solo 3, that W1 chip. I can, if I turn them on, all of my Apple devices within range will see them, and I can select them, and it'll repair over to that. In terms of non-Apple devices, you'd have to put it into pairing mode, and I don't think it can have multiple connections to non-Apple devices.
Yeah, and actually, for my question, the way I was thinking about it, I was really just thinking about an iPhone, an iPad, and a Mac. Could I have it paired to all three? It sounds like the answer is yes.
For that, you just, if they're turned on, you will see them show up in the AirPlay menu or in the sound output menu on the Mac.
Okay. Now, out of curiosity, I think maybe for one of these podcasts, maybe the next one, if you're willing, I'd like to hear what you sound like using just a AirPods as your microphone and headphones. Do you think that would
work? I thought about doing that for this one, and I did not do that. But maybe next podcast, I will use the AirPods.
Okay. Okay. I am still using just a USB microphone. I did change microphones, as people might recall, for our last podcast. No, you weren't here. I think it was when Sven was here. So I've got one of those, what do they call, snowball things? Anyway, I don't know if it sounds any better. I feel more professional just because I have a spit shield and things, but I have no idea if it sounds any better. When I listen to it, it kind of sounds the same to me. But, well, I feel better about it. Okay, and next thing, or the last thing, I guess, after the AirPods, you wanted to talk about your all Microsoft semester?
So, I kind of am, I've always told people I use the tool that best works for me.
Right.
About 5 years ago, when I started, this was when I first moved to Louisiana, I tried doing all of my lectures and all of my kind of class of prep and notebooks and all that using Google. So I used Google Sheets, or not Sheets, right, but Google, whatever their PowerPoint is,
right,
and Google Drive and all that. And that was okay. Couple of reasons I decided not to stay with that. Then I went to projecting my slides off of my iPad. And so I used the Apple iWork suite for that, and I was using Keynote. And I did that for probably a good 3-4 years. And then last fall, I just decided on a whim, why don't I try, they just re-imaged our classroom computers. So our classroom computers have been running really slow, they were running fast. So I thought, okay, I'll try actually just running it off the classroom computer. And, of course, it's a Windows machine, it doesn't have Keynote.
Right.
So I could do Keynote over iCloud.com, but I started using PowerPoint a little bit more and playing around with those things. And I did not project off my phone like I had been. I just did it off the classroom computers. So that kind of emboldened me, and I now have – I also got over the summer last year a Surface Pro 4 for work.
I remember that.
So starting Monday in my classes, I'm going to try a semester of what I'm kind of dubbing as the all Microsoft technologies. I'm going back to PowerPoint for my presentation. I'm going to store – files to share with students in OneDrive, and I'm going to kind of project off of the Surface. I installed iTunes on the Surface, and it actually runs pretty well for a Windows machine running iTunes. So I can play Apple Music and play my music before class and all that. So I've kind of decided, and also it's just lighter weight for me. Instead of carrying an iPad and a Surface, I can just carry the Surface.
Okay,
so that is my goal for this semester, to try kind of all Microsoft products and hardware.
I'm going to offer one caveat, and I've been using a Surface Pro 4 since April exclusively, as the it's the only computer I have at my day job. I don't really have a night job, but, you know, my job, let me put it that way, how I get paid. The only computer
I have is your night job.
That's right. The only computer I have at work in the office is a Surface Pro 4, and I have two external monitors connected to it on a hub. And that's it. And let me
very similar to my setup at work.
And I have to say, first of all, let me first say, I like the Surface Pro. In fact, I considered buying one when it was at sale at, I think, Sam's Club over the holidays. But let me tell you something. If you have a sleep clinic at your university, you may want to take your Surface Pro 4 there, because mine has a lot of difficulty in waking up. And I mean, a couple times a week, it will not resume from sleep properly.
Mine has thus far not shown that.
Okay, and I have installed all the updated drivers for the various harder pieces. Yes, I have updated Windows 10 to, you know, whatever it is now. No, I'm not running any unusual software, at least no software I consider unusual. So I don't know what's, and you know, no games, that kind of stuff. It's a work computer.
Well, we shall see. This will be my, if I don't like it, I will swap back to something else. But I thought I'd give it a shot. You know, I've got it for work. I might as well. I've been liking the Surface more and more and more. I've used it to the point that I have a feeling that if I switch jobs and I have to give this one up, I probably will get a Surface just for myself at that point.
It is a really nice machine. But,
yeah, it really is. And so, yeah, I am now, unfortunately, and I still have my MacBooks, and I still like my MacBooks. I still use
iPad Pro.
My iPad, well, my iPad Pro, we'll have to see how much I use, because it was in my bag every day, but now it's kind of getting the shelf treatment, so.
Wow, that's sad.
Yes.
Maybe you need to do what I did, you know, do a doodle a day, so that, I mean, I remember you bought a pencil and everything, as I recall. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that gives you a reason to use your Pro.
It does. I will, I'll see what ends up working out for me, and it could be I could be back on projecting off of my phone very soon using the iPad Pro for controlling the keynote slides and all of that from remote. We'll have to see what works out.
All righty, well, we'll come back. John will maybe use his AirPods for the next recording. I'll talk to John at length about styluses for them, specifically for my iPad Mini, since, as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't support Apple Pencil. And I want to doodle on my Mini now. But we'll be back. Thanks for coming back after our little hiatus. And we will talk to you next time.